This episode of the podcast is brought to you by All Black Hockey Sticks. All Black Hockey Sticks is the 100% carbon fiber, 440 gram, All Black Hockey Stick. You may reach out to them at allblackhockeysticks.com, type in the referral box, Hoosier Hockey Live, and you'll be entered to win a prize at the end of the month via Hoosier Hockey Live. You may also reach out to them by phone. Their number is 831-68-STICK. Again, that's 831-68-STICK. Allblackhockeysticks.com. Again, promo code Hoosier Hockey Live. This episode of Hoosier Hockey Live is also brought to you by Sick Hockey. Sick Hockey is an Indiana company that has the sickest threads for the hockey lifestyle. Go to sickhockey.com and you may use promo code Hoosier for 20% off your entire order. Again, that's sickhockey.com. They've got t-shirts, hats, beanies, beer koozies, and other products there that you guys will like. Again, that's sickhockey.com, promo code Hoosier. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by JustHockeyJerseys.com. Quality jerseys, custom artwork, unbeatable prices. If all those things sound awesome to you, go to JustHockeyJerseys.com. It's tournament season for beer leaguers, and if you guys want to have the sickest jerseys and socks at the tournament, you're going to want to go to JustHockeyJerseys.com. They've got the best prices, the best artwork, and I've been on a couple teams that have these jerseys, and they look fantastic. One more time, JustHockeyJerseys.com. Let's see those jerseys, boys. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Zinc Metals. For the best customized, handcrafted, fine jewelry, you're going to want to check out ZincMetals.com. Mother's Day is upon us, and if you want to get your mother, wife, or loved one a beautiful piece of custom jewelry, you're going to want to check out ZincMetals.com. They are also on Instagram, at ZincMetals, so check them out one more time, ZincMetals.com.
Let me get my iTunes audio going here first. Shoot, almost got ahead of myself there. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hoosier Hockey Live, episode 28. Featuring the 29-year-old Fishers, Indiana native, a veteran of 150 pro games. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brad Denny. Denny, thanks for being with us tonight, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Episode 28 of Hoosier Hockey Live is brought to you by All Black Hockey Sticks. All Black Hockey Sticks, 100% carbon fiber, 440 grams, and now $89. Go to allblackhockeysticks.com. And make sure you type in the referral code Hoosier Hockey Live. You'll be entered to win a prize at the end of the month. Thanks to All Black Hockey Sticks and Hoosier Hockey Live. Denny.
Yes, sir.
What's new, man? I see you're skating.
Yeah, I've been skating a little bit, doing some men's league stuff. Got to play in that Light the Lamp tournament there a couple weeks ago. So it's a blast. It's nice being back in Indy, getting to skate with buddies and stuff that haven't skated with and, you know, consistently in a long time, so it's awesome.
Yeah, very good. You guys won the whole thing.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. Sunday afternoon, little matinee game there, but it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. And playing with Steiner, I imagine a lot of the guys you grew up playing with, and you know, kind of a reunion, if you will.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
for sure. So you living up in Fishers or Carmel?
Fishers area. We're just in Indianapolis, the north side of Indianapolis. So that, you know, where you look across the street and it's Fishers, but technical Indianapolis address.
Very good. What are you doing for work now?
So I work for a company called Rinker Materials. We make concrete pipe, and I'm the production supervisor for them. Our plant's in Greenfield, Indiana.
Okay. Right on. So supervising, kind of like a bench boss, but in the real world, huh?
It is. It's kind of funny how much it you know, translates over. So it's pretty cool.
Very good. So what's the biggest adjustment from going from the pro hockey to the, you know, civilian side of it?
Honestly, the biggest adjustment, I mean, outside of, you know, getting to go to the rink every day and that kind of thing, there's definitely different stresses now. It used to be all physical stress, now it's all mental. So that's been an adjustment, but outside of that, just, you know, you don't really have any downtime. It's not like you go to the rink for practice in the morning and then you're off and go to the gym. It's more of a some long hours, and like I said, definitely more of a mental stress, but things are good.
You missing hockey, I imagine.
Yeah, I'll always miss hockey. I was happy to get to leave on my own terms, which that's something I take with me every day, definitely. But I'll always miss it. But it's a blast getting to play with the guys around here, just, you know, playing men's league and all that.
Sure, right on. So for those that maybe don't know Brad Denny on the level that some of the fans will be watching tonight, I want to go all the way back to the beginning, brother. You started in the NA. Did you play any high school hockey before the NA?
Yeah, I actually so I did play for Hamilton Southeastern 1 year, my sophomore year of high school. Just trying to think. Right after that, I played midgets, so that was then the junior ice here in town. We didn't have a U16 team, so a group of us went and played high school, our sophomore year of high school, and then went back and played U18s junior and senior year.
Okay. So were you, did you play for Berger, or was that before him?
It was for Berger. Yeah. So sophomore year we played for Berger. That was a blast. I love playing for Berger.
Right on. Yeah. We've seen him around and met him. He seems like a really good guy. You know, a well-respected coach and a hard-nosed coach, I imagine.
Yeah, he definitely was. He's one of those guys that it just kind of demands respect without really demanding it, if that makes any sense. Like, yeah. You know, all the guys just give him a lot of respect because of who he is. So I look up to Burge. I think he's a really good guy.
All right. So the NA, Springfield Junior Blues, talk to us about making that jump from the high school, like U16 midget game to North American Hockey League, and what was the biggest adjustment?
There were a bunch of adjustments, but, you know, looking back on it now, it was just that you go into something to where everybody you're playing with is extremely talented, and they also know and understand the game, so there's much more of a role there. I think that was the biggest adjustment for me, was identifying what that role was, and then, you know, what you wanted your role to be, and then what the coaches wanted your role to be was a little bit different. So that was probably the biggest difference. Took me probably the whole time I played juniors really to understand that, but it was cool. Springfield was a good place to play. I had a great Billet family there too, so keep in touch with them still to this day, which is awesome.
Awesome. So you got moved to Janesville. You weren't there long, but explain that process for maybe those who don't know of how a trade goes down in juniors. Explain that for us.
Right. For me personally, it was a little different in how it all worked. So I had played for Springfield my whole first year, and then the beginning of my second year, I actually got traded to, the team was called the Alaska Avalanche at the time, and that was in Wasilla, Alaska. And I got that call, and I had some stuff going on at home, and Springfield was real close to home, and so I told Alaska that I wasn't going to report. So at the time, I wasn't going to play, and Janesville called and asked me to come out, so went there, ended up playing. It was one game. I think I was there for 2 weeks or something. I had gotten sick. Got sick my first week, so sat in Janesville there for a week and a half while the team went on a road trip. They came back, played one game, and then ended up leaving the next day. And then I was done playing at the time. And I thought I was done playing hockey in general at the time. So,
okay. So in this whole scheme of it, when did you commit to St. Mary's? Was it during the juniors process, or was it after the fact that you had been away from the game for a while?
It was actually after the fact, and I had been away from the game. They called. So that year was my second year at junior, so I had another year of eligibility after that. So they called in the middle of that season, I guess around Christmas, and just kind of asked what I was up to, or, you know, why I hadn't been playing, all those things. And so I kind of told them that, like I said, I had some stuff at home and going on, so I was going to stay at home, and I didn't really know what was next for me as far as life or hockey or anything. And that's whenever Coach Moore called and said, hey, you know, I'd love you to come take a look at campus and just kind of see. He was very understanding as well about understanding. He was always big on family was first and all that kind of stuff. So he understood where I was coming from. So we kind of had that relationship right away. So ended up going taking a look at St. Mary's and kind of just fell in love with it. My dad and I actually made the trip to Winona, Minnesota there for a weekend, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a Division III hockey game or Division III hockey game at all, for that matter. And committed right then, and then went there the next year.
Very good. Before I jump into the university conversation, I'm going to talk about Sick Hockey. Sick Hockey is an Indiana company, and for the sickest threads for the hockey lifestyle, go to sickhockey.com. Got the beer koozie Labatt's rolling tonight for Brad Denny's episode 28. Got the Rise to Grind hat. Countless shirts in the closet. Sickhockey.com, promo code Hoosier. It's going to get you 20% off your entire order. You're welcome. So let's dive back in, Brad. University, you're going to St. Mary's. You went with your pops on a visit, but then you report for classes and all that.
Yep.
Walk me through the feelings of the first day at college.
Oh, man. There were a ton of feelings, actually. It was kind of funny. One, I was just extremely happy to get the opportunity to play hockey again. I was pretty, I don't know if I could say I was ready, but I thought I was going to be done playing hockey. So just to know that I was going to get the opportunity to play in college, that was always my dream in general. So getting that opportunity was pretty surreal. Getting to campus, it was just the adjustment of I hadn't been in school for 2 years, and you know, knowing that I was expected to be at class and all that kind of stuff was something as well. But right whenever I moved in, met a good amount of the guys. We just had kind of a freshman orientation, and then that turned into a team orientation. We weren't allowed to do anything as a team. Like, the team couldn't be named anything until it was October 15th, I believe. And so we were at school for a few months there before any of that happened. So there's a lot of nerves going with that. You see guys who were coming in and, you know, talking about how they were recruited to play and this, that, and the other. And you're kind of looking around thinking, well, I was too, but trying to keep your mouth shut there for, you know, until it was all set in stone. So there were definitely a lot of nerves that went with that as well.
Okay. Now, kind of off topic, not a scripted question here, brother, but did they do what they call, like, captain's practices during the earlier months? They're kind of official, but the coaches can't be there. Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that was, we would have captain's practice, and just like you said, the coaches weren't allowed to be there, but, you know, you'd have the assistant coach kind of stroll through and just see, you know, who's out there and doing all that kind of stuff. But, and, you know, once you're on the ice with the guys a couple times, you're definitely more comfortable, but it's still that, you know, you get a couple months of skating with them, but and then knowing that it's going to come down to the coaching staff. And, you know, at the time, I think it was, they completely kind of redid things my freshman year, which was, they brought in 40 of us freshman year. And so they just kind of repainted the roster, and I think 17 guys were captain of their junior team the previous season. And so, you know, the list of guys coming in,
you guys had a full-on 40-man roster.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And the difference there, we had a JV team, which was equivalent to, they would play like ACHA Division I teams at the time. So it was still pretty good hockey. But at the time, they weren't an ACHA Division I team, so they couldn't play a full schedule. So they were playing a mix of junior teams and all that kind of stuff too. So it was kind of cool to see that happen. But at the end of the day, it was still, you know, nerve wracking thinking that, you know, you just wanted to be on the varsity roster. So
sure. So you played under Bill Moore. Tell us about his leadership of the program and maybe a few things that you liked about his style that maybe stuck out to you.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked Bill Moore. Like I said, from really the first time that I met him, had a pretty good relationship with him. He was a great leader. He definitely, like I said, mentioned before, he was big on, you know, family first, but he treated the team like that as well. Not just, you know, individuals and their families, but the team as a family as well. So it was cool. He definitely led in that way. Practices and things were different there. You know, systems and all that kind of stuff. It just kind of worked because I hadn't been utilized as like an offensive defenseman in juniors, and then I got there, and that was kind of the question, like, you know, why weren't you playing, you know, this type of role and everything. So he utilized me more as an offensive guy there, and which played into my role a lot better. So I was much more comfortable right away. So yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about Coach Moore.
Right on. So you guys played in the MEAC, the Minnesota Intercollegiate College Conference, which, you know, in hockey is pretty competitive towards the top. Which team historically was the toughest to play against, I mean, through your time there?
Yeah, there were a couple. Bethel, my first year, no, not Bethel. Bethel was always strong. They were yeah. always just a grind-nose team. But Hamlin, my first year, was really good. That was probably the best team. I remember, you know, having a true hard time playing against them. And then every year, St. Thomas would have a very good team. St. John's. But it really, it was a very well-rounded conference, which made it, sure. you know, both fun and frustrating to play in as well.
So. Sure. Yeah, every conference game is a easy game to get up for, I imagine, playing
there. It was.
There.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Right on. What was the most difficult thing about college hockey?
You know, I don't really know, other than it being such a short schedule. So for us, we played, I think it was 25 games. So each game was so important. It wasn't like juniors or, you know, midgets where you're playing 50, 60 games and then playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it was, there really wasn't a night off. The training and things that went into that was definitely strenuous. And it was frustrating in that sense as well that it was only 25 games. So I think that was the most difficult, really.
Right on. I thought for sure I was going to get hit with, well, time management, getting my classwork done and doing all those things too. And
That definitely was freshman year. But hockey wise, it was definitely some different stresses, you know, and again, I got to say that was something awesome about St. Mary's as well was, you know, if you were struggling in classes and things like that, they definitely got you the help that you needed. So it was, they definitely made that transition, comfortable.
Very good. Now, we've had a lot of high school coverage. I mean, we've covered Carmel, Zionsville, HSC, Culver A, a lot of guys over this year with Hoosier Hockey Live, and a lot of these guys tune in. What would be a piece of advice you could offer some of the young guys that maybe are getting ready to go into that environment, or maybe, you know, sophomores or juniors that could see themselves in that environment? What's a couple things that maybe you say to those guys to have them avoid some pitfalls that maybe you saw?
Okay, yeah, I actually just had this conversation with a couple of buddies this last week, but I just say educate yourself. I think that's something that, being from Indiana and growing up playing here and things, it's not from lack of coaches wanting to educate, but I think at a lot of different levels, there's not as much education given to the players as there probably should be. So I think as far as the different levels of juniors and what it means to play at different levels, and, you know, not everybody's going to play in the USHL or not everybody's going to go to the OHL or, you know, whatever the goals are as a kid, but not to be so closed-minded about, you know, there's only one level of juniors. I know I was extremely closed-minded. You know, I thought, I didn't know much about junior hockey. I thought either you played in the USHL or you just, you know, went to college and all that. And so once things didn't pan out in the USHL, I was really lost there for a little bit, and I, you know, got on with the team, but you know, it doesn't have to work out that way, and it didn't have to work out that way for me either. So I think I always tell the younger guys to definitely educate themselves and never turn down a phone call or, you know, anything like that, especially if it's, you don't see yourself ever playing tier three junior hockey or anything like that. So you know, don't answer calls or you don't do that, but I just say definitely educate yourself and find the best place for you to play, because you can get to where you want to go by playing in all different levels.
Right on. Yeah, that's good advice. Never turn down a phone call. You never know who might be on the other end and what that could lead to. That's good insight, brother. So I want to transition from the college game into the pro game. I'm going to rip a quick ad read and we'll dive into that. Episode 28 of Hoosier Hockey Live is also brought to you by Zinc Metals. Zinc Metals is an Indianapolis company. with the finest handcrafted, customized jewelry out there. Thanks to Rebecca Zink and her team from Zink Metals for their support of Hoosier Hockey Live. ZinkMetals.com, at Zink Metals on Instagram. Go check them out. They got some awesome stuff. Mother's Day just passed. If you fucked up and didn't get your mom something, go to ZinkMetals.com. Pick up something a little bit late. It's going to be nice, and you guys will really enjoy that website. One more time, ZinkMetals.com. Thanks, Rebecca, for your support. All right, man. So you broke into pro hockey in 14-15 with Danville, a team that's fairly close to home for you, about an hour, depending on who's driving. If it's me, it's an hour. If you're coming from Fishers, maybe an hour and 20.
Yeah.
So why Danville? Did you go to the FHL camps? How did that exactly go down?
No, it was so out of college at the time, the Federal League was doing what they called a college junior draft. And mm-hmm. So my senior year, that summer, they had done a draft for the next season, and I had actually gotten drafted by Danville. So they owned my rights, and actually out of college, I signed with Toledo in the ECHL, and uh-huh. So that was my plan, you know, go to camp there, and when that didn't work out, you know, guys from the AHL got dropped down, and therefore I got released. So
right.
At that point, I contacted, well, the coach from Danville had been in contact with me, and he called uh-huh. me and just said, hey, you know, we got a spot for you to come play, get your feet wet, and, you know, mm-hmm. keep the train rolling, so... That's really how that one worked out.
Right on. So the way I'm understanding it is, had you played Coast games, that contract would be null and void.
For Danville?
Yeah.
Well, no, the way it worked was, so they owned my rights. So it pretty much the same thing as me signing a PTO for them.
Okay.
It was very similar. So it was just that...
Okay.
They own my rights in that league. So if I was going to play in that league that next season, then my rights would at least go to them. They could, you know, have the option to trade me, get rid of me, whatever that was. But.
Sure. So they could trade your rights for, like, a player that was current had you been playing in the Coast.
Correct.
Right on. Are all FHL deals one-year deals?
Yeah, and more so, I mean, you can call them one-year deals, but I said at any level that I played in, at least, it was really your a week deal. I mean, it was never a point that, you know, you signed for this per week, but there was, you know, never job security for anybody, really, the way that I always looked at it, so.
I'm gonna got a burner question, brother. I just thought of, but I gotta eat it. So playing in Danville, you know, kind of a city that's seen better days, in my opinion, but the fans are loyal as shit. They are 1,500 strong every night. David S. Palmer Arena is jumping.
Yep.
And some of the best people watching in the Midwest, if you've never been, folks. Talk about that community and what it meant to you playing there.
And it was almost immediate, really, but they really accept that hockey team, and they make you feel like family. You show up there and they follow everything. They know who you are, where you're coming from. They're truly excited about that team, and so it was an absolute blast. I still say that was my favorite place to play, no matter where. It was just for a lot of different reasons, but you're right. I mean, that place was packed all the time. The fans are loud. Like I said, they know who you're playing against. They know you. You get a new guy in the locker room, and they already know where he's coming from, you know, where he had been playing, what he had done, what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an absolute blast. No, that was, I still say it to anybody looking for a place to play as well. I would not hesitate to make that decision again.
Right on. What was your favorite thing about playing in Danville?
Honestly, there were many things. I say the fans are second to none, so they were an absolute blast every game we played in. The coach, Steve Harrison, that was the best coach I've ever played against. And like I said, I got to play with him got to play with him for parts of three seasons and just have nothing but great things to say about him. His, you know, the leadership that he showed there, he just kind of, I say it, I've said it several times on the talk today, but he really did treat everyone, you know, as they were a family. And because of that, we were very close, and kind of the, you know, the guys who came in weed themselves out as well. If they didn't fit in, it wasn't really him having to make decisions all the time. It was they just kind of fizzled their way out. So it was something to be said about him. He was great.
Right on. Now, Danville does a lot of charity and community events during, you know, the season and throughout your time there. Is there one specific night that stuck out to you as a favorite and maybe a couple reasons why?
I think each year we always liked playing in the cancer game. There, you know, obviously so many people are affected by cancer, and I had an aunt who was affected by cancer, and, you know, so we got the jersey that I wore, got that to her, and she was making the trip over and back all the time, you know, coming to watch games and stuff. So that was extremely meaningful to me. And I know those games were always extremely meaningful to all the guys as well.
Right on. I don't know if it was called, like, Guns and Hoses or the Fire Department, Police Department jerseys that you guys had. Those were pretty sick, too. But, yeah, you guys have some pretty sick threads for charity nights, even though it's, you know, it's not the coast, it's not the A, but, you know, it's a nice regional league that's starting to get some respect and, you know, some people watching it. So, you know, ups to you guys, you know, doing the things in the community. You know, I've seen several times where guys would go to local elementary schools and read. Talk maybe about an event that you know, you would go into the community and give back.
Yeah, we did a lot of that stuff, really. But a lot of the reading stuff was pretty cool, just to go and see the kids. And like I said, a lot of them knew who you were, and, you know, they came to the games and all that. So it was cool to interact with them. I always thought the coolest, you know, most fun thing to do there was go and teach the kids hockey. We'd go to gym classes and play with them and stuff. So I would always volunteer myself for those days, for sure.
Right on, man. Now, you experienced a few call-ups during your pro career, Louisiana, Evansville, and Indy, respectively. Talk about those call-up stories and what was the same and maybe what was different and what was exciting, not exciting.
Okay, yeah, I'll go Evansville and Indy because they were pretty similar. So Evansville was my first call-up in general, and we had just played 3 games and 3 nights in Danville. So I think we had played road games Thursday, Friday, and then we came back and played at home on Saturday. And we had a meet and greet, and it was right in the middle of the season. So, you know, you're in the heart of it. And so playing 3 games and 3 nights, it was, you're pretty drained. And we show up and we had a meet and greet, and I walked in and I was just, you know, exhausted. And I thought coach was messing with me because I walked in the door and he said, "Hey, Denz, come over here." And he sat down. And he said, "Go home. You're gonna play tomorrow." And so I just kind of laughed and I said, "Yeah, like, I'm exhausted. It's not, you know, not a good joke or whatever." he said, "No, you guys are gonna head out in the morning." I said, "For where?" And he said, "For Fort Wayne." And then that's whenever he told me that we had gotten picked up by Evansville. That was pretty cool because, you know, growing up in Indy, you always watched the ice and the Fort Wayne games. And so to me, Fort Wayne was always the place that I wanted to play. I thought it would always be cool to play for the Comets. So to get to play against them in my first ECHL game was awesome. And like I said, that was a Sunday afternoon game. So we drove up that morning. They actually took 3 of us to play for Evansville. They had some injuries and stuff going on there. So 3 of us went and played that game, and it was just for that game, that one time. So they made it clear, you know, come up, play today, and then, you know, we'll see what we got for next year or whatever that was, but just make the trip, come play. And that led into me going to Louisiana because on the way to the arena in Fort Wayne, I got a call from Louisiana asking if I could be there the next day to come play. And I told them, well, I was playing in Evansville tonight, and so, you know, I'd give them a shout on Monday. And so once we got back to Danville Sunday night, woke up, went to practice the next day, or I think it was just an optional skate is what it was, but went in and kind of talked to coach and told him that I had gotten a call from Louisiana and that I thought I was going to explore the opportunity. And he was always really supportive from day one. He said that, you know, you come here, and if you decide you want to leave, you want to go somewhere else, he said, I'll work with you. I'll get you to where you want to go. So he was always extremely supportive. So I told him that that was something I wanted to check out and see, you know, see what it was all about. So ended up packing, you know, my apartment, everything, that Monday morning, and then reported to Louisiana. I got there on the Wednesday, and then we played that Friday. So that's spent the rest of the season there, through playoffs and everything. And it was a good opportunity. It was, the SPHL was a little different than what I thought it was going to be. But there were definitely good things about it, but I preferred playing in Danville over, you know, the SPHL, but it, just for different reasons. Like I said, playing for Coach Harrison in Danville and, you know, the guys that we had there and the way that you're treated there, it was just, it was really second to none in my opinion. So, but the Indy call up was different in that sense, even because we were on our way to, I believe it was Port Huron, and it was a Friday night, I think. And so we're on the bus, or Friday afternoon, and we're on the bus, and I was about half asleep and just kind of laying there, and my phone rang, and it was Bernie. And I looked down and saw the name and kind of woke up, answered it.
You're like, oh, shit.
Well, yeah, and so I answered it, kind of knowing what was going to be on the other line, but kind of thinking also I'm on the bus right now. I don't know where I would, you know, where I'd go or anything. Talked, and he asked if I could be there that night and play that night. And I told him, I said, you know, we're on our way to Michigan right now. We're going to get there just in time for pregame and stuff. I mean, I can't, I'm not going to be able to make it. And he understood and just asked, you know, if I was sure and everything. And then hung up and just kind of said, I went up and told Coach Harrison, I said, hey, you know, Indy called. And, but I told him, you know, I couldn't make it. We're playing tonight. So, and he said, well, did you look at where they were playing? And I said, no, I didn't actually. It was just, you know, he had asked if I could be there. And it kind of worked out perfect because they were in Fort Wayne. They were playing in Fort Wayne that night, and we were passing Fort Wayne's exit. I mean, we look up in the bus and we'd see the Fort Wayne exit. And so he was like, well, give him a shout back and just tell him, you know, we'll drop you off at the arena or at the hotel or wherever it is. And we were going to Kalamazoo that night, so there was no hotel. So I actually got dropped off at the arena. At Fort Wayne's arena. And then Coach Graham, who I had played for in midgets, actually, the head coach of Fort Wayne, let me in the back door, and he lets me in the locker room and everything. So had a nap in the training room and all that. So, you know, to play that night. So, but at that point, it was a blast. Like I said, I think that was the most fun call up because one, you know, getting to play for Indy, that was awesome. Obviously growing up here, and that was just a really cool experience. And at that point of my career, I was much more relaxed to, you know, to play. So it wasn't so much that I was worried about it being a call up or anything. It was just hockey. It was a game at that point. So I could really enjoy it. So that was a blast getting to play there. And then like I said, made the swing to Kalamazoo and then back to Indy on that Sunday. So
didn't you play the Saturday game in Indy?
It was a Sunday game in Indy, I believe. Oh. I think it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think, yeah, because we had played in Kalamazoo on Saturday night and then Sunday back in Indy.
So you played with Indy, Danville, and then Indy again?
No. So we played in Fort Wayne and then went to Kalamazoo to play the K-Wings that Saturday night.
Oh, okay, so they were all Indy. Okay.
Correct.
So I have, like, the flip side fanboy story to your Indy call-up. Here it is. So a lot of you guys know I'm a huge hockey fan. I follow it from high school all the way to the show. And, you know, Brad, you and I have seen each other at the rink a million times. I remember going to watch you play, like, 2 weeks prior. And for whatever reason, it was just still fresh in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna check up on Danville, da-da-da-da. Like that Friday, I think it was like 2 p.m. or something like that, I had saw that you got the call. And it hit the Indy Fuel Twitter and Facebook. And before I could even call my wife, Valerie called me. She's like, hey, you're never going to guess what happened. I'm like, okay, let me guess what you're about to say right now. She goes, okay, guess. I said, Brad Denny got the call to Indy. She goes, yeah. I said, buy tickets right now. We're leaving right after school. And we hauled ass to Fort Wayne.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, so we get up there. You get about 8 minutes of time. I think you were even on the night. But, yeah, I mean, playing for the hometown team against the team that you liked growing up, I'm sure that had to be, you know, outside of playing with, you know, Danville and their fans, that probably was one of the highlights, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely was. Like I said, it was funny because I had kind of a game day ritual. I'd always call my dad when we got to wherever it was and just kind of touch base and say, hey, you know, I'd give him a shout after. And so that time I called him a little earlier and he was at work. And so he had said, hey, what's going on? I said, nothing, just getting ready to play. And so he just did the normal good luck stuff. And I said, yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting for the team. And he was like, well, what do you mean the team? And I said, well, I'm playing in Indy or I'm playing in Fort Wayne. And he was like, what? What do you mean? And I said, yeah, Indy picked me up. And so that was just pretty cool because, like I said, he couldn't make it to the games and stuff, but it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Right on, man. Yeah, I just I remember that. Like, I imagine you remember that. It was just so funny. I mean, obviously, they're totally opposite sides. I couldn't imagine getting a call like that. I assume you were – I mean, even though you had been a veteran of, you know, 100 games – even playing at that level, it's quick, man.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. So, yeah, there were nerves that came with it. But like I said, at that point, it was just the nerves were a little bit different. You're able to enjoy it much more than you were before. So
you weren't going, oh, fuck, I'm behind on this. Or, oh, I should have threw it there.
No, not really. That season, I had signed in Toledo again. So I had played preseason with Toledo earlier in the year. And at that point, it was – the systems are a lot different there too, and you go there not with less expectation, but to play a simpler game, you know. So you're there, you're playing D, you're making the first pass, and things like that. And as long as you play within yourself, you're able to enjoy the game a lot more. So,
would you say you are more conservative if you get called up as opposed to playing where you had been all year at whatever level?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. Especially just not trying to do too much. And that was something that probably was one of my downfalls anyway, even whenever, you know, the things got going there in Danville and stuff, you get a little over anxious. And I think that's something that I still could have been better at even at the end of my career was controlling the things that I could control and making the simple plays rather than trying to go, you know, over and above.
So, be a hero.
Yep. Yep. So definitely something that you do in call-ups as well.
Right on. So, kind of transitioning from the call-ups and the time there, I want to hear a couple of Brad Denny's, you know, stories from the road. We all understand that the budgets, you know, the federal teams are fairly low, but there's a lot of talent there. And if you've never been to a federal league game, go check it out. There's a lot of guys that played, you know, college hockey that have maybe played overseas that are looking for a North American look. Talented guys, but who is maybe one of the most talented guys you played with in the Fed, and why that is?
I think the guy that always comes to mind is his name is Justin Levac, and I played with him. Like I said, parts of 3 years there in Danville, and he was an OHL guy, and he played some different levels of pro before he came to Danville, and wanted to take on more of a leadership role, which, you know, brought him back to Danville. But as far as a skilled guy and just a guy who knows the game, it was a blast playing with him all the time. The first training camp, he definitely stood out. And, you know, I wanted to take a few takeaways from him right away. And he became one of my good buddies, too. So I think he was definitely a guy that I talk about, you know, all the time whenever guys ask about the better players that I played with and against and things like that. So we call him Mo. But, yeah, Justin Levac was definitely definitely that guy.
Yeah, a big guy, about 6'4", 6'5", pretty silky hands for as tall as he was. And he could get the puck into really good positions, even in traffic to shoot. That's one thing I always noticed about his game.
Yep.
So yeah, that name, you know, resonates, and I remember watching him play a good talent. So what current or former federal rink was your favorite to play in and why? I know David S. Palmer's, we understand that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe one that's not in Danville.
I think Danbury was, Carolina was a great place to play. They're, mm-hmm. you know, great fan base, really involved as well. But playing in Danbury whenever they were the Whalers was an intimidating place to play. They had a really big team, a tough team, and they had guys.
Broad Street Bullies of the Federal League.
That's about exactly what it was. And they made it known, too. I mean, they were. But they had skill as well. It wasn't like they were dirty, but if it came down to that and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't beat you, they were going to beat you. So, yeah. I think that was a. Probably the most intimidating place to play. They had, so my first year, they would give out, I don't know if it was like the first 2,000 fans or what it was, would get little, you know, rubber whales. So their first goal of the game, they would just rain whales everywhere. And so, but like I said, that was a cool place to play, and it was always packed. Definitely rowdy, and like I said, it was not a team you wanted to fight, so.
Right on. So, there's got to be a good bus story. You know, you guys are kind of in the, you know, the busing league. So give us maybe one or two good ones of bus-specific trouble.
Yeah, so we were, you know, when we talked about that, the biggest one to me, we had a couple, you know, a couple bus issues or whatever they were. You're in a time crunch getting to a game and, you know, whether it be a flat tire or something wrong with the bus, whatever it was. But in Louisiana, so it was at the end of my first year in playoffs. It was the first round of playoffs, and we were going to Peoria. And I think it was about an 18-hour ride. So we couldn't have been 10 minutes out of Louisiana. And so we leave our arena. It was after – must have been after game one because we were the lower seed. So they came to Louisiana. We played game one. And then we were getting on the road to head to Peoria. And I can't even remember what it was, but something to the point that it wasn't going to be able to be fixed and us get to the game on time. So we're sitting on the side of the highway, you know, just back to everything. We had just played. All we want to do is sleep. Standing on the side of the highway, not knowing what we're going to do. We end up getting cabs back to the apartments. They say, we'll pick you up in the morning. You know, just be ready at 8. We don't know what we're going to do. And so we wake up at 8 and they would always pick us up right there at the apartments. Our practice arena was pretty close to the apartments as well as where we played. So the bus would always just swing over the apartments to pick us up. And we get there, and it's the University of Lafayette's golf bus. And and I mean, it's the, you know, the real, real short bus that is, I mean, it's a golf bus. I don't know how familiar you are with them, but so you're sitting 3 to a side, just crunched, and then there's an aisle, and then 3 on the other side, or 2 on the other side, however it was, and we're just jammed into this thing, and we got a trailer, so our team trailer is trailing behind this golf bus, and it was, I don't know what the issue was, that we couldn't get buses or vans or whatever the issue was, but so here we are on this golf bus, and you got just grown men that just turned into it was hysterical, just making noises and like saying, you know, we're never gonna make it, we're never gonna make
sitting
it
like,
oh yeah, absolutely
trying to just not fart.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Yeah, all the windows are down, there's a stretch that was the biggest joke too. There I think it was like 30 something miles right there in Louisiana that all you're over is just a big lagoon, or you know, whatever you want to call it. No exits, no nothing, and that was the biggest thing. Just all the windows down, screaming and stuff. So, and we drove to, I can't remember where it was, but we picked up Mississippi's bus on the way to Peoria. So we ended up getting the bus and, you know, doing that whole transition. But that was one of the, if I could capture moments in time, it was stopping at rest stops and things, because there's no bathrooms, there's no, you know, no nothing.
No pee hole or nothing?
Nothing. I mean, it was too funny. But that was the most memorable bus breakdown trip for sure.
Oh, God. Were you guys, did you guys play at where Bradley plays their university basketball games?
I believe so.
That's a big ass arena.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so definitely a big place. And that's, I think that's where the Rivermen, when they were in the AHL, had played there as well.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's their home rink.
Yeah. We love Peoria. It's kind of halfway between family we have in Iowa. So we've been to some Rivermen games.
Okay.
It's an interesting rink. You can definitely tell that there's been some, you know, hockey history in there. I mean, you go through the team photos, you've got, you know, Ryan Reeves on the wall, man. That's pretty sweet.
Yep.
So, you know, some teams that were awesome, and it's, you know, kind of a bummer that they have to play in the SP now because of the, you know, rich history that was there.
Right.
I mean, they have the Colonial Cup in the trophy case there from the International Hockey League. And it's kind of a neat little history lesson of Peoria hockey if you've never been there, but that's a really interesting barn. So
yeah, it was definitely a cool place to play. They always have a really good team as well.
Yeah, yeah. No buses caught on fire?
No buses caught on fire. No, luckily. But
right on. So when you were on the road in your time at Danville specifically, who did you room with?
Zippy was typically my roommate. So Oleg Shapitsin, he was my D partner as well. And so, yeah, we typically roomed together, which was awesome because he was pretty laid back just as I was. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, once we got back from games and stuff, we didn't want to do much of anything. So, he was a great roommate.
Right on. Clean, messy?
Clean, really clean.
Okay.
Which good, was good. Even better. Even better.
Right on. Was he cleaner than you?
I think it was pretty even. We both like to keep, you know, you got your sides of the hotel room. Everything was
sure.
Was tidy, and that was, yeah, he was big on that as well. And like I said, that's kind of how I am as well. So,
did you guys have doubles, or was it like single?
No, it was doubles. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah.
Sorry to spare you on that.
No, it's all good, man. So did you guys, this is a question that I've heard several stories on both ways, so I want to get your take on it. Did you guys get banged up on the road a lot? And, you know, what's the deal with that?
No, and I can't speak for other teams.
Mm-hmm.
It was hit or miss, I guess. It, you know, if you swept a weekend, you get surprised by the owner. He's got, you know, beers and stuff on the bus, which was cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, both times really. Louisiana was the same way. It wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. like an every bus trip kind of thing. Yeah, different guys, mm-hmm. you know, like to drink and do that, but mm-hmm. for the most part, as a team, there were definitely a few, you know, fun buses on the way home, but it definitely wasn't a an every weekend kind of thing.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. Who was the biggest party tank in Danville? Who's the guy that, if there was a ruckus to be started, that's the guy that's going to do it?
You know, and not to sound super lame, but there wasn't, you know, one guy that stood out to be, you know, crazy. When things got wild, mm-hmm. Justin Brosnan liked to have a good time. Mm-hmm. But he never took it, you know, too far off the tracks or anything like that. He never had nightmare stories, so nothing like that, so... Yeah, I think probably if there was one guy that, you know, liked to have a good time, it was definitely him. But he controlled himself.
Very good. Who's the biggest weapon in Danville, man? Who's the guy that just is a ringer?
And just a ringer. I got to give it to Braz, probably. I got to give it right back to him. So.
Very good. Right on. Now, have you heard, again, you're I'm not going to say you're not giving me a lot. You're being honest. That's fine. But I heard some stories about, like, if you're traveling into, let's say, Port Huron, and you've got a lot of guys that have been on both rosters, both teams kind of get together and, you know, break bread and stuff like that. Does that still happen?
It never happened for us. We did have one, and actually it's funny you said Port Huron, because we went to, I think it had to have been my first season. Yeah, so it was. It was before I went to Evansville and then before I ended up going to Louisiana. But so we had played in Port Huron. They were going to be in the league the next year. So they did like an out of whatever they want to call it. But so we played Danbury in Port Huron. And
The neutral site game.
Site. I couldn't think of the word. But so we played there. And like I said, that was always kind of an intimidating game anyway, just because of the team that they had. But so the way Port Huron opened it up, they had both teams had lunch and stuff together with the owners of Port Huron, and then it kind of, you know, fan bases and things like meet and greet type thing. So we went there and then played the game, and then after we had a dinner, and it was both teams, and both teams stayed the night there. And that was the one time that we did. We ended up going out with a bunch of the guys in Danbury, and it was a blast. It was because you go from, again, those were two teams that really did not like each other. So every time you played, it was pretty heated. I think there were, you know, like I said, there weren't a ton of fights when I played, but I think there in that night even, I think there were two, maybe two or three. So it definitely heated between those two teams. And so to get to hang out with those guys, I had played with a couple of them in juniors. So that was mutual across the team. A couple guys knew different guys from the other roster. So, that was the one night that we ever went out, I'd say together, because we were at that, at that dinner, and then ended up staying out with them for a bit. So, But that's the one time that I had.
Right. That's good stuff. So, again, we'll keep it in Danville, because that's most of the people, that's who they're going to know.
Yeah.
Who's good for an assist, man? Who's the guy that will pass one off for a nice, easy tap-in?
I don't know if you remember the name. Dan Turgeon was a great player. And that was he was a big one, as far as just you'd see somebody off the back post and think that puck's never getting to him. And it was
Jenny, there. You're missing what I'm talking about, bud. But it's okay. I love you for it.
Trying to set it up?
I was talking about assist off the ice, buddy. But anyway.
Yeah, like I said, for me, I had a girlfriend most of the time, well, the whole time that I was playing, so as far as those, all those stories and stuff, it was
pretty mild.
Yep.
Right on. I got a couple gritty questions I'm going to ask them now that we're kind of the end of this section of it. In pro hockey, especially kind of the lower, the Fed, and some of the other ones, have you ever not been paid at any point?
No, but I heard nightmare stories of just, that stuff happening. I think it was, I can't even remember who I was talking to, but going into my rookie season, it had been somebody playing in the Central, it must have been the Central League, because there were, teams that were going to fold, this, that, and the other. And I was hearing that they were, showing up to the locker room, and they were getting paid in their stalls, and then they'd go and they'd have to rush to the bank because, certain checks weren't getting, weren't going through, and they were bouncing.
Holy shit, dude.
I was pretty terrified about it, to be honest. So,
oh, my God.
I didn't know what to expect, and that was something I was definitely happy that never happened to me. And it didn't happen to anybody that I knew of while I played either. So, and, like I said, I think that's just something that I'm extremely happy that did not happen.
Right. No, we're happy for you, but those stories are always crazy.
They still get me.
Yeah. We've had a guy on that didn't get paid, and that story was, it will make you sick. Like, it will make you sick, because it's just like not getting paid at your job, and when it's something you love, it probably makes it, like, 10 times as bad. I don't wish that on my worst enemy, man. Just not getting paid has got to be the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But, all right, man, last question. I'm not gonna mention any names, but you played in a league where there was a team president / owner that owned, like, 3 squads.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Have you ever felt or did you ever feel, you're kind of out of it now, so you ever feel like there's any conflict of interest or anything like that?
I don't know if there is, outside, and to be honest, I never really knew when they said, there were part owners of different teams, this, that, and the other. It always kind of seemed like I just never knew all the details of it, and I guess I just tried not to get lost in it. Right. It, as long as, you know, I was being treated well and the guys that were playing with me were being treated well, then that's kind of the extent of what I looked into it as. But no, personally, I mean, I never saw anything in Danville that made me think, like, oh, you know, if he does own a part of another team, you know, they get treated better or something like that. And I think that's something to be said about Danville and hopefully the other teams in the league as well, because like I said, they took care of us, so I never had any issues.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to dig there. I'm not trying to dig. I've seen people that, let's just say, they own companies that are kind of diversified, but they all kind of, you know, correlate in a certain way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, yeah,
business is one thing, and, you know, one thing I know about the gentleman that I was kind of referring to, but, you know, I know that guy loves the game of hockey and he wants it to be built in all the markets that he's involved in.
Yep.
And anything he can do that, he's going to do. So, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he's doing the right thing. We can all hope that, you know, the right thing and integrity is there. But I was just wondering if you had had any experience, you know, in it.
No, and I get it. Like I said, I've gotten the question before, and I answered it very, you know, very similar. But I don't think it was me being blinded by it either. I think it was just, you know, guys felt that we were treated well, and maybe just don't look further into it than that, I guess, could be some of it. But
right on. A weird, random, like, nerd hockey question, because I'm into gear and stuff like that.
Okay.
Did you guys have to pay for gear while you were there?
No.
Okay. Who was the sponsor for all the gear?
It was different each season. I can't remember. I mean, now it's all, I think it's all Warrior there, sticks and everything. So my first year it was all Warrior, and then in the SPHL at the time it was all Easton. Yeah,
you guys didn't have to, like, pay for sticks or anything.
No.
Oh, that's mint.
Yeah,
that's
mint. Yeah. No, that would.
Woo!
No.
I like, because I've seen sticks at FHL games where it's like Bauer S160s, and I'm like, dude, you're a pro player.
The one thing interesting about that league is that, you know, in different leagues, you're not allowed to use different, you know, brands. And because in the FHL, there's not an official sponsor, guys can use whatever they want. So if you got there and you just said, the guy said, I don't use Warrior sticks or whatever that is that the team got, he would just go get his own sticks. And it was like, all right, man. And there's more power to him. You know, you're able to do that. But me, starting in juniors.
I don't know how.
And that's what I said. I said, starting in juniors, I didn't care what was given to me. That's what I was going to be using. So
free 99.
Exactly.
Right on, man. Yeah, I saw, I think one of the years was like Winwell, or at least the protective gear.
Yeah. And that was, I think that was after me. Might have been the first year after me. I'm not 100% sure, but I did see that with gloves or something.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, but you weren't there, but I was going to ask how that stacks up to, like, Bauer CCM.
Yeah, and I never used them. I know we used Bauer my last year, so it must have been Easton Bauer. Yeah, I don't know, but, yeah, we used Bauer my last year, but I can't talk to the Winwell stuff.
Right on. All right, brother, last question. I know we talked about missing the game earlier, but what's the one thing you miss so greatly?
Well, there's a couple things. I think the guys is one of the things, definitely, you know, just showing up to the rink and knowing that that's your job. But just the game, the competitive side of it is definitely something that I miss. And I get a bit of a fix of that now. I'm playing in, it's called the Great Lakes Hockey League. I play for a team called the West Bend Bombers, and it's out of West Bend, Wisconsin. And it's like a senior A league, or, you know, it's men's league with hitting and the competitive side. So it's, that's a
blast. non-paid though.
Correct. Yep.
So amateur status, technically, even though they're guys that are probably pro level.
Correct. Yeah. There's different guys who have played at different levels, or at least in college and things like that. So it's definitely a blast to play. And that gets your fix of the competitive side. Definitely.
I'm just blinded right now. I can't even see you, to be honest. People are going to be laughing at me because I'm like, oh, squinting and I can't see. And better sunny than rainy, though.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Man, for sure. So,
I'll take it.
Right on, man. I've always kind of wondered, you know, guys that get away from the game and they'll spend a little bit of time working and they'll almost like love the game even more and the stuff that happened even more once they're gone.
Yeah.
You know? Would you say that's true for you?
I don't think it's loving the game more. Hockey's always something that I've loved. So I still, mm-hmm. you know, love knowing that whether it's men's league or whatever it is, I just love knowing that you get to go skate and to get to go play. It's definitely something you look back on, and I'm extremely appreciative of getting to play for as long as I did and where I got mm-hmm. to play. I think mm-hmm. going to work, I love what I'm doing right now, which I don't think mm-hmm. everybody can say, so I think I'm a little spoiled on that end, but I do really love it, but I do find myself, you know, you talk about it a little bit more, you know, with the guys and just mm-hmm. talking about war stories and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But definitely miss it, but...
Yeah, right on. And I imagine you're doing better than a Federal League, you know, salary.
Yeah, now. I can assure you on that.
Right on, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. All right, man, we're going to wrap this thing up. I want to do one more section. We've been doing it with everybody. Everyone loves it. It's called Rapid Fire.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with, like, 6 or 7 questions. You just fire off the first thing that you can think of, all right?
All right.
All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite lift in the weight room?
Squat.
You're like, I hate them all. favorite hockey brand?
Bauer. I gotta clothing? Say CCM. I'm taking Bauer back. I hate Bauer. CCM.
Very good. Favorite clothing line?
I don't even know about that one. Wrangler.
Dream car?
F-250.
Favorite subject in school?
Oh, math.
Favorite burger?
Gross burger.
Mmm.
Delicacy.
Oh, if you're going to this city right here, you better hit that place up, bud. Oh, I've left in probably 3 meat comas from gross. It's the best burger on the planet.
It's a sign.
And trust me, my fat ass has ate some good-ass burgers. That's the best one.
That's a great spot.
Oh, my gosh. And I shouted you out, like, this is probably 9-10 months ago. I was going through for work, and I don't remember where I was going. I think I was going to, like, Champagne or something, and it was on the way through. And I was like, I'm not doing myself any favors if I don't stop. So,
you owe yourself.
Yes. You know, hard day's work. I think I just ate like 3 hours earlier. I'm like, fuck it, I'm eating. I snapped a picture. I said, you know, they need to name this the Brad Denny and that meal. And I think I got like 7 or 8 likes. It was not that witty, but.
I'd take that. Good burger. I would take that.
Sure. They've got a unique setup in there, too.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, a little some war related things. So it's definitely a Danville spot. If you've never been, go. If you're ever going through there, it's a really good spot. You're welcome. Brad, thanks for spending some time with us tonight. Sorry, I'm doing this and
no, you're all
see
good.
You, but I want to say thanks to our sponsors one more time. All Black Hockey Sticks, allblackhockeysticks.com. Reference Hoosier Hockey Live. It's the best stick you'll ever swing on a budget. Brad, have you ever swung one?
I have not. Not yet. I'm going to have to try one.
Right on. And you're buddies with Klein's, so get your ass over to Klein's and demo one. He's got some sticks there. AllBlackHockeySticks.com. Again, $89. You can't beat it. Sick Hockey for the best threads for the hockey lifestyle. Go to SickHockey.com. Promo code Hoosier, 20%. You're welcome. All right, now. Last one, zinc metals, fine, customized jewelry, okay? Zincmetals.com, at zincmetals on Instagram. Thanks to Rebecca and her team once more. That puts a wrap on this. Brad, did I forget anything? Did you want to say anything before we left?
I don't think so. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and we appreciate you giving some time, brother, and, you know, we'll catch up soon. Best of luck at work this week, and then hopefully you'll enjoy this nice weather coming.
Yeah, I'm planning to. I'm looking outside now.
Right on. All right, brother, we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was Brad Denny, former Danville Dasher, captain, Commissioner Cup champion, stud. Thanks for being with us tonight. I know we talked about a lot of stuff. Some of it was hockey, some of it wasn't. We're glad that you guys are enjoying the show. You know, it wouldn't be possible without the fans watching. We want to say thanks to you guys in addition to our sponsors and, you know, everyone supporting us. So, you know, next week we're going to have a good episode. We're still, in the process of wrapping up our guest. There will be a promo early next week on who that's going to be. So thanks for being with us tonight. My name's Kyle. I'm out of here. Enjoy the week.
In 1988, I was compelled by synchronicity of destiny of fate. The sun and sea and mountains took my breath away, but the locals didn't like me. This I heard them say, I'll cut your hair, get a proper